I see gold. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddler Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is episode 398, to be broadcast on June the 5th, and WHUS 91.7 FM. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She had to run out and do some things. If you're watching this on Facebook Live, you can leave comments below. I may not be able to answer them, but feel free to please leave below. I can answer you later. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can comment right down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week. Okay, it's going to go positive negative on this one, okay? So I participated in one of the best marshaled and supported rides I've ever done. And I still got buzzed by two truck or truck-like vehicles. One was a massive SUV. The other was an extra-large pickup truck, probably driven by an extra-small person. I'm going to just guess whatever might have been behind the wheel of that thing. But anyway, this is, of course, on a course that was so incredibly well marshaled, so incredibly well signed, including these giant, you know, the giant DOT signs that a lot of states use that, you know, let you know that there's construction ahead, all that, you know. And yet, still, there's, you know, you can... sometimes you just can't take the idiot out of the truck. And why is it always a truck? Why is it always a truck? Anyway, I just dealt with it. You know what? I've ridden enough traffic that I know how to deal with it, and we were fine, but it really infuriates me, especially with the fact that I had a passenger on the back of my tandem with me, and, you know, I mean, they weren't just risking one life, they were risking two lives. For what reason? I do not know. But if anyone ever has any insight as to why people are that way with people on bicycles, please let me know. But I think we're probably never going to really solve this problem until we take the idiot out of people. And I don't know if that's ever a solved problem. But anyway, on a positive side, we're going to go right to the positive side now. The 2024 Best Buddies ride. I got to tell you, this is my second year, and it is by far one of, I said it earlier, the best supported rides I have ever done. These guys do a bang up job, like unbelievable. Big shout out to my friend Richard Fries for organizing all the domestiques this year. The domestiques, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show, and I'll talk a little bit about domestiques and what we do and what we did out there. It's phenomenal how well supported it is. The signage on the routes, unbelievable. I didn't even download the ride on my GPS unit. I just followed the signs. It was that easy to do. The marshals that were collecting at the different intersections, they started with the 100 mile ride all the way up in Boston, because it started at the JFK Center, the JFK Library, and then went all the way down to Hyannis and Hyannisport and Craigville Beach. They would do their marshal intersection in the morning, and then they'd progressively move their way down, and they would just be at different intersections. I'm sure they were assigned those intersections, so they knew exactly where they needed to be and when they needed to be there. And it was just incredible, just rolling through almost every intersection that we dealt with. We had to stop a couple of times which is, of course, a little challenging on the tandem, especially if you have a partner on the back who is not so good at doing that. But, you know, we got a lot better this year. I got to say, Gabe was like, he was a rock star this year. He did a great, great job. I'm just so thrilled with what happened. So collectively, the domestiques, the people that were working to keep everyone safe and together on the rides as we were progressing on down, we raised over $25,000 for the Best Buddies collectively. And there were, I think, 80 of us total. I think that's what it came out to. So quite a few riders, a lot of support. We all wore these very bright pink outfits, you know, nice kits. We were very easy to recognize on the course. And, you know, a lot of us went above and beyond the call of duty. Pretty cool. I talked to a friend of mine who had come up upon a woman with about 20 miles to go. And I got to tell you, the last 20 miles is the hardest part of this ride because there's some pretty good hills there. That's where we on the tandems start. And so we start out by having to climb some pretty big hills, which is, it's very demanding. I can tell you that. But, you know, and this year with my pharmaceutical issues that I've been having, it was a little bit more challenging on the hills than I've had in the past. But Gabe was a trooper. He was just great. I got the same buddy I had last year, and it's Gabe from Maine, and his parents came down. They're just everyone's just lovely. Have lovely people. What a great event. It's just so much fun. If you need to know more about it, you can go to bestbuddieschallenge.org and you can learn more about it and how it all works. Sign up for next year. There were over 800 riders there this year. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. We had weather like I couldn't have asked for better weather. It was beautiful. It was sunny. It was warm. Last year it was raining and 50 degrees and it wasn't so nice, and yet we still had big smiles on our faces as we crossed the line. But this year was especially nice. It was just gorgeous. What a beautiful, beautiful ride. The other thing they did is they kind of changed the last part of the finish of the ride. So we ended up riding a lot more along the beach as we were heading in towards Craigville Beach, which was kind of nice because you got a lot more ocean views, which was totally cool. And it was just beautiful. It was just a great, great ride. So I've got a few quotes in here that came off of many Facebook posts that are out there. And this one was another successful Hyena Support Best Buddies Challenge in the books. We are so proud of the 30 tandem cyclists. There were 30 of us this year. A huge jump from last year's 12. So there were just a dozen of us out there last year. We went all the way up to 30 tandems this year, which is really cool. I talked with them about this afterwards. We want to try to double it. We really would love to get more tandems out there. So if you're listening to this and you have any interest whatsoever in getting involved in the Best Buddies, you know, just reach out to me. You can reach out to me through my email address. You can reach out to me through Facebook. And let me know what you think about helping and joining in, because we can always use more help. Do you own a tandem? Have you ever ridden a tandem with someone who's very inexperienced in the back? Can you handle something like that? It's, you know, I don't do this very often, and yet every year we're out there doing it, and I will continue to. It's just so much fun. It's very inspiring. The, you know, previous year, I was doing everything I could to keep Gabe's interest in going forward on the tandem. We rode 20 miles last year. This year was a little bit longer. It turned out to be 21.9 miles, so we're a little bit longer in the saddle than previous years. And Gabe was very good about telling me, I really need to stop now. Can we rest now? And so I would just pull over and that would be fine. We'd take a little break and then we'd get going when we got going. And it was just so much fun. And you know, you're being cheered on by the other riders. You're being cheered on by the other tandems. There's also domestiques like myself, the folks with those pink jerseys on, that are actually just riding along in the 20-mile ride to help people through the 20-mile ride. The support is beyond explanation. I don't know that I can really explain it. We went to a domestic dinner the night before, and that's where we were told exactly how we were expected to perform for the ride. Immediately, we are told, and this goes anywhere from the people doing the 100-mile ride on down to people doing the 20-mile ride, and there's different segments along the way, that this ride is not for us. It's not our ride. This is the ride that we are there only to support those other riders and make sure that they stay safe. Over 800 riders in the event this year. Pretty cool stuff. Just like an amazing, amazing production. And to add on to that, they raised over $4 million in one day. So pretty cool stuff, you know, pretty cool stuff. And gosh, the smiles that you get on people's faces, that I can't describe it. I really can't describe it. It's very emotional. It's very satisfying. It makes me feel really good about the fact that I can ride a bike and I can help someone else with this sort of thing. Again, I highly encourage you, if you're finding that this sounds like a really good thing to do, to please come and join us next year, because this is a great, great thing. Okay, that's part of my positive side. I'll probably get into a little bit more of that afterwards. Because I want to talk a little bit about the pilot program and the domestique program that we do there and how well it works, and so I'll get into that a little bit more into the show. But I'm still on the positive side here, and I have other things that are really positive that are going on right now. The Bike Mansfield fourth grade program has launched. Okay, what this means is we have in my town right now a bicycle skills building, and it's now a part of a grade 4 physical education curriculum at the Mansfield Elementary School. How cool is that? It's so cool. There's a great picture that I pulled down that I'm looking at right now, and it's Mansfield Elementary School physical education teacher Betsy Parker. Big shout out to Betsy Parker. She's been putting kids on bikes for years. I used to bring her over helmets and used fixed up bikes and all that to try to keep her little program going in her gym at the smaller school before they developed what they have now. Betsy's the best. She's the best. The kids love her. I know why. But anyway, that was really cool. And then another enormous shout out to my friend and Bike Mansfield treasurer, Lon Hultgren, who was a former town engineer here in the town of Mansfield. And he is also helping a student here fit them on the bike so that they're comfortable, and then teaching them all about raising and lowering seats and seat height. It's just a cool thing. So there's just a short blip here. Bike Week at Mansfield Elementary School for all grade 4 students was celebrated this past week, thanks to a year-long effort by community partner Bike Mansfield. The nonprofit community organization raised funds to purchase bicycles and training support materials. As a result of the funding, grade 4 students have access to a two-wheel bicycle and a safety instruction in physical education class during Bike Week, which was last week, May 29th through the 31st, and then today, June 3rd, is the last of this instructional program. Great program. We followed suit with another town, South Windsor, I think, and you know, just kind of took some took some hints and clues from them and some support from them, and just off we went. And we got a number of people educated through the League of American Bicyclists that know how to instruct now and can continue to do that in the future. It's just a lovely, wonderful program. Very, very cool. And so it's a highlight of the positive side today. Okay, what else do I have? Of course I've got more. Of course, the Criterium de Dauphiné 2024. It started. It started yesterday, and it will continue on for, boy, I'm trying to remember now, and I don't have my notes correct here. I think 9 days, and then it's over. The Criterium de Dauphiné, we'll talk a little bit more about this in the show. It's kind of a tune-up race. I like to call it a tune-up race for the Tour de France, because it's a lot of times teams will use the Dauphiné as a testing ground to see what riders they are going to be sending to the Tour de France. And so it tends to be, you know, test the waters. Let's see how fit they are. Let's see how they perform in this race. And a lot of the teams are then selected after the Dauphiné. So that's kind of cool. It's there's a lot of stuff going on there right now. That we had stage one was very exciting. It was a sprint finish. It was, you know, the standard kind of flat and fast type ride. And today was much hillier, so a different race. And I'm not going to disclose what happened today because I don't want to do any spoiler alerts here. But if you are looking to watch this, I believe that this is going to be broadcast on, well, I know it is because I saw yesterday's race. It's on the Peacock, NBC Peacock television network. So you can watch it if you have that particular app on your home computer and or your home television. You can watch it through Peacock, which is cool. So lots of fun stuff going on there. Definitely a lot of fun to watch. Mechanical minute and cycling tips. All right. This one I just felt was near and dear to me because of what I went through yesterday and not, was it yesterday? 2 days ago. Saturday. Hello. Yesterday, I actually rode my bike on the rail trail and rode into the coffee. We had a coffee shop ride yesterday, which was very nice. But on Saturday, for this event, for this the Best Buddies ride. By the way, check out this shirt. Is this not the coolest shirt? For all of you that are listening to this and don't have this on the video end of things and are on an audio file, I have a shirt that shows two people silhouetted on a tandem and it says, "Cycling is better with a buddy." So very cool shirts. Everything is cool. They give you a lovely cycling jersey. Also comes with your entry fee. That's kind of a neat thing. There's just great stuff. Somebody just gave me a big thumbs up. Nice. Very nice. Thank you. So anyway, riding a tandem bicycle for the first time. So I was instructed, because I was now a 1 year seasoned veteran of the pilot program. We call it the pilot program because we, the riders on the front, the domestiques who are on the front and that are all wearing the same uniform, the same kit. We are the pilot of the tandem. So we are also known as the captain of a tandem if you're a tandem rider. And so if you've never done this before, it's a little bit tricky. If you're a seasoned tandem captain, then you kind of know what to expect. And you realize that the first thing you have to understand is communication. Communication is key if you are riding on a tandem with someone. So that's why some people are just not compatible with tandem riding. And for various reasons, it's a true test of a marriage, either direction. can go any way, for sure. And or a friendship, we can do that too. We can throw that in there as far as that goes. Because you do really have to learn how to communicate with one another. And that can be a definite challenge. So how to ride a tandem bicycle. We learned a few things yesterday. I was given the task of, because I was a seasoned veteran, because I'd done it previous year, to talk to anybody who was a new captain on a tandem or a new pilot on a tandem about getting going and trying it out first. And, you know, we met in the parking lot where we were going to start early. And we made sure that we put our riders on the back of the tandems, and then I gave them some brief instructions, and then off they went. And it's tricky. If I had a woman that I was working with, and there were a number of female teams this year too. That was very cool. And I had a woman I was working with, experienced cyclist. She rode the 100-mile support ride last year. She did 110 miles, whatever it was. Very, very experienced cyclist, but she was very, very wobbly when they were starting out, and she didn't quite get. So we had to work with it, but she got it. She got it eventually and got pretty good with it, because it can be real tricky. You're starting out really slow, so it's a little bit hard to kind of get things moving forward. Gabe and I learned a couple of things yesterday. So as we went along, we were getting much, much better at our starts. The starts, I think, are the hardest things. The starts and the stops are the most difficult parts of riding a tandem with a passenger who is not as accomplished with it. So it takes a little while to get used to it. I will say now that Gabe is getting a whole lot better, you know, and we just had a blast. We just had a great time. So anyway, riding a tandem isn't hard, but there are a few things you need to know in order to have some success at doing this. This comes off of a TandemCycleWorks.com website, by the way, and I'm going to refer to some of the statements they say here. Tandeming is probably a new sport to a lot of people, and these folks like to compare it to dancing. Dancing together takes a bit of practice, right? If you want to learn to dance together and you want to make sure you're not stepping on each other's feet, that sort of thing, you kind of need to learn how to do the moves together, and that's the thing. It's, you got to synchronize what you're doing and your movements, and you really have to understand that there is going to be someone who is going to be more in charge than the other person. And as long as you can accept that, you'll have great success with being on the tandem. So it's a little bit tricky at first, because a lot of times you'll get someone who gets on the back of the tandem and they want to be a little more in control, and they've got to turn that off completely, because they can't steer the bike. The bike is, you know, it's fixed in the back as far as that goes. They can't really control how fast their feet are going around on the pedals. That's kind of dictated by the person in the front to a certain degree, although eventually that communication smooths out too, because I've had to learn over the years that there's a lot of people out there that can't spin their legs around as fast as I can, because I've been on a bike for a long time, so I kind of have a natural faster cadence of my own. And I figured that out when I was riding with my son years ago on the back of the tandem, and he used to say, "Dad, slow down." And it's like, buddy, we're not even going fast yet. You know, this is, you know, we can, you know, it's not that fast. And you go, "No, your legs," he'd tell me, "no, your legs," because he couldn't keep up with my pedals. I eventually got him hooked up with some clipless pedals, which helped a lot, because that way his feet didn't fly off the pedals. But all of our buddies that are riding on these things, they are all on flat pedals. So the first thing I told people is, you know, you're an accomplished cyclist. You're going to naturally have a cadence which is probably going to be faster than your passenger on the back. So you're going to have to learn to, you know, kick it down a little bit and maybe push a little harder on the pedals and, you know, change up what's normal for you is not going to be normal for them. So I tell people that too, that they've got to be careful about that. It's learning how to ride together is a trick. And, you know, you really need to understand what your rider or the stoker, the passenger on the back of the tandem, is all about, because it's the only way you're going to be able to do it. So the step one that you do is the captain gets on the bike first. And that's why I told everybody, swing your leg over the top of the tandem and then take one leg and put it way out to one side, like you're kickstanding the bike, kind of leaning the bike into the leg that's very, very close to the bike, and then the other leg is way out to the side for support. That way the bike won't fall over when your second person gets on. So that's like super important, to make sure that you are super stable before you get your passenger on the bike. So you stand at the side of the bike, you face straight ahead with the bike at your side, and the handlebars are pointing in the same direction as you're facing, and you hold the bike by the handlebars and you lean the bike toward you. Like I just said, you lean it into that one stable leg, that, and then the other leg, you just push it out a little bit further and use that as the kickstand. After you've got that, now, if you've got a very stable person getting on the back, you can put one foot clipped into the pedal and you can go forward with that. We tried that a few times yesterday. It just didn't work as well for us. So I learned something new, and that was, I've got a different way of starting now, and Gabe and I got a lot better at it at the end, because I just hadn't, you know, until you wear the hat of the other person, you don't understand how they're thinking and how they're you know, looking at things. You just know what you know, and you got to take most of what you know and throw it out the door, and then, you know, rethink, because everyone's going to be a little bit different. So if you have a lot of control and support, and you're built larger than your person that is in the back of you, then it gets a little bit easier to do this, because you can pretty much power your way forward and get both of you going at the same time. If you're built like me, I'm not a big guy, and Gabe is not a big guy either, but I think he outweighs me a little bit, so I could definitely feel that. So that's a little bit tricky. But so what I would do is I would have him get on the bike, and he would be sitting in the seat. He would put both his feet on the pedals, and, you know, I'm trying to stabilize it. And I heard him a couple times, whoa, I said, just sit still, just sit really still. That's another key thing. You want to make sure that your rider, who's on the back of your tandem, is very, very still, especially when you're starting out, because anything that they do back there, anything at all, you feel it. And you, as the driver of the tandem, you really, really need to be able to compensate for that. So that can get a little tricky. Once you get going, once you get the movement going, the forward movement going, it's a lot easier to do that. But you're still going to feel them if they're wiggling around back there. And Gabe likes to wave to the crowds, and so there's a lot of movement back there. And, you know, as hard as it is to, you know, as easy it is to communicate to him about that, it sometimes is hard for him to understand. So that, it's not a big deal. We got real good at it. And we got really good at that communication thing where he would say, I need to stop now. You know, I'm tired and I need to stop. And you need to respect your tandem stoker's requests and understand that you may not need to stop, but they may need to stop. So that's okay. So listen, because that's the way it works the best. So what we have here is, so what we learned and what really worked out well was to put Gabe's feet on the pedals, and I told Gabe that he needed to start the bike out. He needed to pedal, because if he could do that, I could then quickly slide up onto the saddle, and then I could join him afterwards. It's easier for me to find the pedals, my feet in the pedals, than it was for him. So I had him get us going, just enough forward motion that I was able to then take control of it. And once the bike was moving, I would just basically, I was using clipless pedals because I prefer that. And so I would join him with the pedal stroke, and then I'd say coast, and he would stop pedaling, and then I would clip my feet in. So you don't clip your feet in right away if you're in a situation like that. Like I said, if you're a really, really strong rider in the front and you've got a big size difference between you, you can probably avoid doing that, and it's not a problem. But we did have, you know, a couple of folks like myself that were running with people on the back that were a little bit bigger than we were, and that adds a new challenge to it. So anyway, I learned something really, really important on Saturday, and that was to let him start us out. And then once we did that, and then we would coast, I'd clip in, and then off we would go. And it's really, really fun when you get it. And it just takes some practice. And it also takes I like to do a 3-2-1 go kind of countdown thing. That seems to work pretty good for me. And it also lets your rider in the back anticipate when we're actually going to start. So the more you're patient with it, the more you practice with it, the better you get at it, and it just gets a lot easier. There is a problem when you get to an intersection and you need to stop, and then, you know, you have to, or any time along the way you need to stop. And I'm very good about saying, okay, now we're going to coast and I'm going to bring us to a stop. And I like to put my feet down first, because then I can do that same kickstand operation and support the bike and then let him get off on the back. So it really, you just have to figure out what works for you. But it's amazing when it works, because it's just a lot of fun. And you know, once you get the bike stopped, you gotta, you know, allow them to hop off. And the best thing is to have them just take their feet off and put them down on the ground, versus have them stepping on a pedal and then swinging over. That's not a good idea, because it's just going to throw the weight of the tandem back and forth. Tandem is already heavy. It's already awkward to a degree. So you really have to play around with it until you figure out what is going on there. The bump command. Yeah, the bump. Okay. If you're on the front of the tandem and you see a bump that you're going through, you have to call it out to the person in the back. You got to warn them ahead of time, because they hit a lot harder than you do. So it's important to do two things. Number one, you're looking for the bumps as you're going over them. Number two, you're looking for as many ways as you can to avoid the bumps, because I had Gabe a couple times go, whoa. I said, I'm sorry, Gabe, it's bumpy here. You know, there's potholes in the road. Of course, every pothole was marked by bright paint. I mean, this ride is fabulous. It's unbelievable. I think that Richard told me there were over 800 signs out from on the whole 100-mile trek that they have. And they have a sign crew that follows the ride out of Boston. And as the ride keeps going forward, they have just one vehicle that's just pulling signs up and putting in the back of the pack of the vehicle. And they put them back in order, so that when they go to put them out, they can put them back out in order. It's a phenomenally well-organized ride. Best organized ride I have ever done, ever. And, you know, I've been to a lot of those, and I've also put some on, and there's nothing quite like this There's just nothing at all. I also, they talk here about the shift command. I also call out my shifts to my stoker. And I have been pretty good about that. And that seems to make it a little bit easier because they can't anticipate what you're doing. And you know when you need to shift. You can see you've got terrain coming up that you need to deal with. Or, you know, your legs are getting tired. Or you can feel that they're getting tired because they're not contributing as much. And so you know when you have to shift. But especially important if you're shifting down to what we call the granny gear, the really, really small gear in the front, because that is the gear that really changes everything as far as your cadence goes. And no derailleur on earth is really designed to shift under load, even though the new ones are much better than they used to be. It's probably not a great idea, especially when you've got two sets of legs really pushing down on it. So I think that I think you need to, you know, really call out the shift, and it seems to help. We won't even get into more advanced techniques like standing while climbing. That was just not going to happen. That becomes an entirely different scenario, and that requires, I would say, weeks and weeks and weeks of practice before you get to that point. But I have seen it done, and it's It does work. So on behalf of stokers everywhere, here we go. This is a great statement. We would like to just remind you, dear captains, of one small thing. If you remember these five words, you will always have perfect harmony on your tandem adventures. You ready? The stoker, person on the back, is always right. Got that? Okay. Just, you got to listen. You got to listen. It's a communication. It's a drill in communication. It really is. And boy, when you get it right, it's just so, so much fun. It's really great. It's awesome. So anyway, that's a shout out to my Best Buddies Challenge and all the fun that I had there. Big shout out to the Best Buddies in Maine. Great program. Wonderful people. Wonderful support. We're going to miss you, Julia. Yeah, she's leaving, but that's okay. She'll be back. I'll see her next year. But anyway, big shout out there. Just incredible support amongst the families and the program itself. And it's just a great, great, great program. So I highly encourage you to look into your local chapter of Best Buddies and see what's going on there and see if there's any way that you can help or contribute in some way. If you've got a tandem, you're halfway there because the tandem is really, really the trick. It gets you, it gets you the opportunity to be able to introduce someone to the idea that they can ride a bike and that's not really a problem. And the amount of enjoyment that you get out of it, you both get out of it, is really pretty spectacular. I've seen, you know, I don't get to see Gabe when I'm riding because he's right behind me. I know he's back there because I can feel him moving around and stuff. And I know he's probably putting little, you know, devil's fingers behind my helmet. I'm sure he's doing that. He's a prankster. He's a bit of a prankster. But, you know, I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. But, You have to communicate, and you got to really, you know, always be checking in on people that are on the back, and the amount of pleasure that I've seen through the pictures that people have taken along the way. We have a lot of professional photographers along the way. We have a lot of amateur photographers, friends, family, that sort of thing. They're taking pictures too, and the pictures I've seen, just they tell it all. They tell it all. You can see that that person that's behind you is just having the time of their life. And it's your responsibility to make sure that that continues to happen. And so anyway, That's all good stuff. Where is my... I have this other thing that I kind of wanted to bring up here, and maybe this is it. So I want to just explain a little bit more about the Domestiques, okay? And the Domestiques program that we do at Best Buddies. And the word domestique is drawn from a French word for servant. A domestique in cycling rides in support of another rider. You often see them if you're watching bicycle racing as much as I do. And if you listen to my show, I know you watch bike racing because I talk about it a lot. And we'll get on to the Dauphiné here soon. But anyway, the domestique is the one who goes back to the team car and picks up the extra food and stuffs it in the back of their... Sometimes they stuff water bottles in the back of their jerseys because they don't have enough room in the pockets, and they have food and they bring it up and they distribute it amongst the other riders on their team. And then they'll also be called in, let's say, one of their hot riders, you know, one of the ones that's programmed to win the race. They get a flat tire, they get a radio call, and they're told, you got to go back, you know, Bob has a flat tire and you need to tow him back up. So the domestique's job is to get in front, put his head down, work as hard as he can, and draw that rider back up into the pack and bring them back into the race if they've had some sort of a mechanical issue. So a domestique has a lot of things to do and has to be very strong to be able to support that. In our group, we call ourselves the Thin Pink Line because we ride in a way that echoes on bikes the work that Best Buddies in schools, workplaces, living places, and public places. We strive to ride in a manner that makes every rider in the group feel safe. Okay, that they belong and that they matter. The domestiques are carefully recruited from established clubs and teams, and they include Olympians, world champions, national champions, and even guys like Pedal and Run, who's just been on a bike for a long time, and I've got a fair amount of experience. We do have quite a collection of amazing riders that show up to this ride and that do incredible amounts of work. When we have our meeting the night before, it's explained to us that this ride is not about us, that this is not the ride that you're going out and seeing how well your Strava segments are for your ride today. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for support for the people that are on the ride, and the support is just unbelievable. I have a friend who I talked to after the ride, and he had done the full 100-mile ride down from Boston, and I said, so how you doing? And he said, I'm doing okay. I said, how many miles you get on today? Oh, I don't know, about 110 or so for a 100-mile ride. And I went, yeah. And he said, yeah. He said, I was going to go back out again, but he said, I was so cooked after I finished. He said, I caught up with a woman at 20 miles to go, and she was just really struggling. And she'd had enough. She was really doubting whether she was going to get in or not. So he said, I asked her very professionally if it was all right if I were to touch her, because I would be putting my hand on her back. And she said, yeah, okay, you can do that. And he goes, I just want your permission first. And she gave him permission to do it. And he put his hand on her back. And if you're an experienced cyclist and you've been through this before, you know what I'm talking about. But you put your hand on their back and you stiffen up your arm really, really stiff and firm. And then you just pedal forward. And that will actually push the person up the hill. He pushed her the last 20 miles in the ride. So he was done. When he finished, he was just done. That was it. And that sometimes happens. I talked to a couple of other guys. You know, we were kind of hanging out a little bit after I finished my bout on my tandem. And I did go back about a mile or so to cheer people on in to make sure all the tandems got in and all. But these guys were going back out. They were going to go back and ride back 15 miles to draw more people in. And we don't quit until the day is done. So if not done until every rider has finished. So that's the Domestique program. It's very cool. It's a cool thing to get involved with, and it's just the support, like I said, is unbelievable on this ride. It's just really unbelievable. Okay, I'm going to move forward. That's a lot of effort and a lot of talk about the Best Buddies program, and I feel really strongly about this. I can't wait for 2025. Believe it or not, I want to do this again. It's just so cool. It is just so cool. I did see one other thing which I forgot to mention in the positive side on the show, and it was there's a new ad on television here that is put out by the Connecticut Department of Transportation. And they show a car kind of going through corners and they talk about distracted driving and how you really need to be paying attention when you're driving, because you never know what you're going to see around the corner. You come around the corner, there's a cyclist in the middle of the road. And, you know, it's really put out as a please be careful and be aware of the fact that there are other people out on the road. Big shout out to the state of Connecticut for this. That it's fabulous. It's a great ad, and there's more and more things that are happening here in our state that I'm just very, very impressed with. And it's this one was really big. There's an article here that came out. Connecticut launches a put the phone away or pay to combat distracted driving. Once again, here's another thing here. The observance of Distracted Driving Month, this came out a while ago. Law enforcement in Connecticut has intensified efforts to talk and tackle the issue of distracted driving. It's dangerous and it's deadly. And that's what a DOT spokesman, Josh Morgan, said. You can see their heads looking down. You can see their vehicles starting to swerve, move into the out of the travel lanes. So the first offense, if you're caught doing this in Connecticut, is a $200 ticket. Drivers caught a second time doing the same thing, because it's on record, it's a $375 ticket, and every offense following is $625. Shout out to the state of Connecticut for paying attention. I think this is great. I think it's a wonderful thing. We've had way too many tragedies out there on the road. We lost a state trooper over the last week that got hit by someone who was distracted driving. I mean, come on, man. Pay attention. It's just so, so important. And, you know, it's really, really nice to see that the Department of Transportation and the state police have really taken this into consideration. And I complain about the Department of Transportation a lot, but today I'm going to give them a big shout out, because I'm starting to see some really positive things going on there. So good for them for taking care of this, because it's really awesome. It's just really awesome. Let me slip back here real quick while I still can, and I want to talk a little bit about the Critérium du Dauphiné. And this is just a very simple information piece. It's an annual road race run over 8 stages. I was close. I said 9. It's 8 stages in the Dauphiné region of France during the first half of June. It's organized by Le Dauphiné Libre newspaper, along with the Tour de Suisse. The Dauphiné Libre is an important race to lead up to the Tour de France in July, because the Dauphiné is a mountainous area. The winners are often climbing specialists. Many climbs that are famous from the Tour de France, like Mount Ventoux and the Col du Gablier, they appear often in the Dauphiné. All cyclists who have won the Tour de France 5 times or more have also won the Dauphiné. So that's kind of interesting. The first Dauphiné was held in 1947, and Edward Kublinski from Poland was the winner. And then there's been many others like Bernard Hinault and other well-known cyclists who have won the Dauphiné. So it's kind of cool. So it's it's a stage race. It's a tune-up race. I like to talk about it being more of a tune-up race. And you know, we've had other winners in the air that people have heard of. Bernard Thévenet, if you go way back. Bernard Hinault, of course, won it multiple times. Greg LeMond won it one time. I see him on the list here. Robert Miller. There's a lot of them in here. Miguel Indurain won it a couple of times. There's been just a lot of really well-known people that have done well with it. Tyler Hamilton from the U.S. it's funny. The LA guy has had his name scratched off the list in 2002-2003. He is no longer a recognized cyclist. I think that definitely has some good standing. Alejandro Valverde, you know, twice winner, you know, good solid riders. Another American, Levi Leipheimer, another one who has won that. So it's cool stuff, and it's a great way to kind of get you psyched up for the Tour de France and to see what's going on. And like I said, they're into day two right now. I'm not going to give anything away. I do know who won the race. I do know what the results are, but that is for you to find out later on. So we won't talk about that right now. Let's see, what else do I have in here that I wanted to talk about before we quit? I've got a few different things. I'm going to go back to that fourth grade program that we have here in town because it's really, really cool what's going on. And again, the inspiration, the framework on this was drawn from a very successful bike education program that was in South Windsor Schools here in Connecticut. And Bike Walk CT, they've actually tailored a specialized training curriculum and manual for physical education teachers across the state of Connecticut. Big shout out to Bike Walk CT on that one. We have a lot of volunteers that have been involved in this and have helped put this whole thing together. And there's, we have, just so you know, we use 20, 20, and 24-inch bicycles equipped with flat bars, handbrakes, and gears. There's 2 3-wheeled adaptive bicycles for students with special needs. There are 100 helmets for optimal safety, portable bike stands, repair stands, and floor-type tire pumps for maintenance, a 12-by-12-foot easy-up canopy, floor tarp, folding tables and chairs. These are all things that were purchased for this program. Supplemental items like signs and traffic cones and pavement chalk, sandwich boards, basic repair materials, tires, tubes, that sort of thing. And it's all part of this education program. There were a lot of local businesses that helped support this. There was also a lot of grant money that came into this. It's just really been a very positive, successful program. And so I'm feeling very proud of my little town of Mansfield here for putting something like this together. Because it's every fourth grader that goes through our school system in this town is going to know how to ride a bike responsibly, how to take care of a bike, how to get along with other people on bikes. It's all just a great, great thing. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. And it's very exciting to see. Let's see. And the other things that you want to just kind of keep an eye on out there, there's a great little site in Connecticut here called Watch For Me CT. And if you want to check that out, it's watchformect.org. And they have pedestrian, driver, bicyclists, all sorts of reference information there, depending on what vehicle you are driving. But it's all kind of geared around yielding to pedestrians and crosswalks and, you know, making sure that you give a cyclist plenty of room and the laws that are stated and all. So it's very nice. I wish that that maybe driver's ed were, you know, it was a requirement that you had to go through a course with these guys just to be able to understand it better. But maybe that will come in the future. So we'll see. I did hear that there was at least one bicycle question on the Connecticut driver's test now. Just one. That's a little sad. But you know what? It's there, and that's a good start. And maybe there's one bicycle question and one pedestrian question on there, because people just really need to learn from the very beginning as to what goes on. If I had my way, they would have to learn every 5 years when they got their new driver's license or their new registration or whatever it was, so they could just get more information, you know, to understand that things are changing. There's more and more people on bikes. This is, you know, this is a changing society we have right now. And it just makes a lot more sense to have bicycles out there than it does to have cars out there. I know, you car lovers, you can love them all you want. I get it. I understand. But if you just figure out a way to get around it, it's just a different way of living and a different life, and it's so much better for everybody and everything involved. So, you know, but I'm the Bicycle Talk guy. I'm Peddlin' Ron. I'm going to make this kind of noise because it's what I do. So, but there's a lot in here about bicyclist behaviors and what they're supposed to be doing, motorist behaviors and what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I know that a lot of this is kind of thrown out there and people aren't going to pay attention to it. But my job is to constantly remind people of the dangers of riding. I got to move on because we're completely out of time, and I have to talk a little bit more about some events coming up. We've got two events coming up this weekend here in town. Tour de Mansfield, Saturday, June 8th, is there's a 20-mile ride, and there's a 40-mile ride starting and finishing at the Mansfield Community Center. That's coming up. There's also a Ride the East bike ride, which is actually on the Airline Trail State Park Rail Trail, and that starts and finishes at Gilson House Museum in Willimantic, Connecticut. So there, that one is a 48-mile ride and an 18-mile ride. The Tour de Mansfield is a 20 and a 40-mile ride. The also the 2024 Quiet Corner Bike Tour is presented by the Thread City Cyclers on Sunday, July 28th, 2024. We'll talk more about that on future shows. And the 2024 Steeplechase Bike Tour is a ride and walk on Saturday, August 17th, and includes 20 miles, 35-mile and 62-mile road rides, a 5-mile fundraising walk, and in addition to last year's 18-mile gravel ride, there's going to be an additional 40-mile gravel route available, 90% dirt roads and trails. Very cool stuff. So, finishing points. You want to try to get involved in the Best Buddies? You know, just look at my Facebook page. I can link you over. Just drop me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I can set you up with more information on it, or you can just go to the Best Buddies sites, and you'll see that they have these rides all over the country. So maybe you're going to be visiting with a friend out in California, and you want to do one there. You can do one there. They're out there. So the Best Buddies rides are just very, very cool, and it's a great cause, and it really helps getting people included in the society that we live in, and it just brings a ton of joy to them. It's such a cool thing. It really is. So anyway, that's it. What else do I have? I've got the Dauphiné. Yay, that's coming up. That's cool. We got all sorts of local rides coming up. Really, really cool. It's 2024. What's your plan? More miles? Ride to commute to work or around town? Better fitness? Enjoying the bike rides you take more by just slowing down and smelling the roses? I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. You need to get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park the car or truck, and ride your bicycle instead. you might just surprise yourself. I think you will. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this show. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with myself, Peddlin' Ron. And if you wish to know more or drop me some information, it's bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!